We're looking at the three parts of faith. We did in our introduction, really the foundational scripture that I'm using is from Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, the scriptures we're using. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and so do we. We want to obtain a good report. If the ones that went before us did it, let's do what they did. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith. We're talking about believing something you can't see, something you can't feel, and you believe it. Hallelujah. And so that faith in that thing will take what is not seen and bring it to the seen. This is what we're talking about. There's a principles that follow in the Word. And if you follow these principles, folks, I've proved it over time. It works. I know that it works. Hallelujah. It's to do this. I've watched other people perform it and do it and walked in it. And I've seen the outcome of them doing it. Hallelujah. These things work. And so we need to get it on our minds and into our thoughts. Hallelujah. So, our faith is the evidence of what we can't see. It's our evidence, really, that it belongs to us, that we have it. We're not, I want you to get this, we're not believing for things, we're believing we have things. There's a huge difference. Amen. Most Christians are taught, well, they'll say, you ask them, well, I'm believing for such and such. Well, what you're saying, you're believing for, you don't believe you got it yet. So, you have nothing to uphold what you're hoping for. You don't have any substance. Faith is substance. Faith says, I believe I received it. We're going to talk about that because people don't... You ask a person about something, they'll say, well, I'm believing for something. It's not what the Bible tells you. You're supposed to say you believe you received something. I believe I got something. I believe I received something. I'm not believing for it. I believe I've received it already when I pray. We're going to talk about those things. This is part of what faith is. So we were talking about these things. We talked about in Proverbs, one of the things we laid down the foundation of the idea of we're a spirit being and believing in your heart from your spirit. And really, that's the first part of faith. I'm going to quick read from Proverbs, the fourth chapter in verses 20 through 23. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And especially this verse, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. That word actually can be translated source. It's the source of life, or it's the outflow of life. It also can mean outflow, or the outgoing. In other words, your spirit is your source of life. It is not your body. When you finally hear, if your spirit leaves your body's dead. The life of the human being is from their spirit. If your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. That's it. So the source that we need to come to this, our spirit or our heart is the source of our life. We found out the Word of God is the fuel is that you put in there, the fuel that in there keeps that inner man running with power. That's what he does. Because keep the Word, he said, with all diligence. You look up that word diligent. That word diligent has the idea, is like a guard in a prison, keeping something in. It's one of the ideas of that word. Diligence is under you take a hold of something, you take it into your control, and you watch over it. That's what you do. If you're not doing that, you're not diligent. You know, like Mike was talking, you're trying to get somebody to get into the Word. They're not diligent. They're not taking it and guarding over that thing and protecting it for themselves. And so that, and you need to do that with the Word. Why? It's your source of the life of your spirit, the power of your inner man. So we need to understand this. And that there's the first thing is believing the Word, is we want to walk in the light of the Word. In Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we talk last week, believing with your heart, that is the number one thing that you have to do. That's the first part of faith. Some people don't enter there. They try to go to the confession part, which we're going to talk about today, and haven't ever dealt with their heart. You know, they heard a message preached one time, and problem comes. I'm just going to jump. They said to do this. I'm just going to do it. Well, they're listening. You can hear. I can give you testimonies what God did for me. I don't mean it's going to work for you. The principle will work if you do all that I did. If you spent the time building your spirit that I did, it'll work for you. If you don't, it won't. I'm teaching the principles, but you got to work the things and do them. Mike talked about wisdom today. You need to understand this about wisdom. See, information is not wisdom. Wisdom is how to put information to work. Let me explain it like this. I worked with a guy who read car magazines and books about cars. That guy could tell you details of all kinds of things on the sun. He could tell you all kinds of stuff about cars, if he had a problem, what to do about it. He could tell you this. And then I found out one day, he couldn't work on a car to save his life. He had zero wisdom. He didn't know how to take that knowledge. See, you can get knowledge from the Bible. You need wisdom. Knowledge ain't enough.
Amen.
See, you can sit and listen to me preach and you gain knowledge, but you have no wisdom. Why? You never fed your inner man till the life came out. The wisdom of God comes. Wisdom's the ability to put knowledge to work. You know, how many of you have ever done this? You've ever sit down and do this and you buy something that's new. Like, you know, it's like me, I just got a new phone, and I got this new phone, and so there's things that changed in it. Now you go around and you find it. And I'm reading some of the things in the phone that says to do, and you know what? I mean, the knowledge is there, but it doesn't make sense to me how you do it. So I'm fooling around till I figure out, and all of a sudden I think, oh, that's what they were talking about. You see, when the wisdom came to do it, changed everything. The knowledge was right there. You can sit and you get a manual that says how to do something, and you say, boy, this doesn't, you know, you're trying to figure it out, it don't work, but then you turn around, once you get the wisdom, I would say, yeah, well, I can see what they were trying to say there, but until I got the wisdom, I couldn't figure that out. Yet all the things were there. See, knowledge is not enough. See, this is one thing, the educational system today is a mess, because all they do is pump knowledge in people and nobody got any wisdom. We got people who have never worked a day in their life who you go to a college and they're teaching business administration and they never worked in a business one day in their life. Never one day in their life. And people wonder why. Why do we have trouble? Because the educators are dumb as a stick and they don't know about wisdom. They don't know, you know, I'm not interested in how much you know. I want to know what you can do.
Amen.
I have no interest. Don't matter what you know. What can you do? I know people know a lot more about the Bible than I do. But I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of them I do a lot more than they can do about the Bible. Most people are impressed in who God says he knows the most. That's what they're impressed with. That's what people want to know. That's the American, you know. Who I'm impressed with, a guy that really knows a lot. Yeah. Well, how about all those knows a lot we got in this country, running the country, all these know a lot guys. I mean, you want to be dumb as a stick? Man, I'll tell you, there they are. There's no wisdom. There's no wisdom. Why? There's one thing as I learned, wisdom comes from God. Even in natural things, I ask God for wisdom. But you can't necessarily look in the Bible and find it, but there's things that we do. And I ask God, God, I need to know how to do this. What do I need to do? You need wisdom. God knows it all. And he can give you wisdom. Because that's lots of time. I know stuff, but I need wisdom. Hallelujah. So you want that. You want wisdom. Because when you get this, in other words, come to the place of believing in your heart. This is where you have to arrive first. I ain't going to go back over all teaching that. Today we want to look at the fact, because once you get it in your heart, that's when it needs to be released. As I had said before in teaching, and get a hold of this, don't all just start out making a confession and call it faith. Don't just do that. You can make confessions and they ain't faith. You can be saying what the Word of God says, but you want to find out. The Bible tells you how you have to believe it. The Bible tells you exactly how you have to believe it for this to work. So when we're dealing in the areas of confession, we need to understand this. If we don't understand these principles, because lots of times, as I was teaching on meditation, lots of times I'm saying things, I am speaking to me and not to God. I'm speaking to me, building my faith. You need to understand the difference. I'm speaking, building my faith. I've also learned after I've made a confession of faith, I need sometimes, as I maintain my confession, to keep myself in line. Because things will try to pull me away from that, and I'll stop and I'll say, no, this is what I believe right here. This is what I'm saying. And I'll say it to do with that. But see, what I am saying it from a position of faith. It is no value to speak things. They are called this, idle words. Idle words are words spoken that did not come from your heart to produce something. When you call it faith and it's only idle words, you better get yourself corrected quickly on the thing, because you can set yourself on a destructive path believing you're doing something that you're not. This is why people have to know their heart. I've learned over time. You know, sometimes I've stood in areas and I'm thinking, on the inside I know something that ain't working. I know it ain't working. Till I finally get smart and stop and say, you know, this thing, I stop. Lord, I must be missing this. So where am I missing that? Come to a stop. If you don't learn how to be led by the Spirit, you're going to have a tough time in faith life.
Amen.
Faith life ain't you finding scriptures and going around and confessing them. That ain't faith life. As many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. There's many people who are Christians who are not sons of God because they're not led by the Spirit. Therefore, they don't fall under the sonship. They're not listening to God. They're following just along in good principles. Nice people going to go to heaven and get there and find out they never lived the sonship. They didn't live as good as they could. They lived like a servant instead of a son. See, the sons are led by the Spirit. See, that's what I want. That's when the Lord told me after I was born again. And I'm about a month old spiritually. He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Isn't that a nice thing to say to a baby? Thank God he said it to me.
Amen.
I said, man, others should have surely heard that. Hallelujah. He said that to you. If you don't learn, you won't amount to anything. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't talking about it. Lord, talk to me about people. He said, you know, they're good. They do nice things. But they're not led by the Spirit. They don't live the life that I've called to sonship. They don't live in it. They don't walk in it. They don't have it. Nice people, good people. You know, as far as they know, they love me. But they don't really know me.
Amen.
Their love is based on knowing about that much of Him. What would your love be for Him if you really found out how good He really was? Hallelujah. It's like, wahoo! Glory. Now we want to look at a scripture back over we had used before, but we'll look at it because it shows both parts that we're looking at. Mark 11, we're going to look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. Hallelujah. I like these. This is Jesus talking. Specifically when Jesus is talking, I like this. I always follow after John G. Lake. He said, if Jesus said it, there's no more discussion on it.
Amen.
He said, I don't need something else. See, when Jesus talks, we should just listen. Jesus said this. And this is Jesus talking. Yet most of the church world doesn't believe this. Most of the church world don't follow this principle. Yet Jesus said it. They think it was for some time past. In other words, well, what do we pick out what Jesus said was time past? What do we pick? We're going to start doing this in the Bible? We'd have a Bible that's just so much, you know, it's sort of like a government sends out, you know, yeah, Congress asks for certain documents and they're redacted. And there's four lines you can read and there's 400 you can't. You know, that's the average Christian's Bible today. There's 400 you can't read and there's three verses for you. Because all the rest of them are for somebody in the past. Hallelujah. Mark 11, 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart. See what he says? Now he's talking about saying something that you do not doubt in your heart. So you need to understand this. This is the foundation of speaking words. These are words spoken that you do not have any doubt about. You believe in what we would say wholeheartedly that these words that you're going to say are what you're believing in your heart. See, it isn't like, well, you know, I got a problem, so let's just quick make a good confession, and it'll be, you know, and, you know, we had that years ago, when I first came in the kingdom, they had, even like you'd go around Rhema, they'd have the confession police, and people would say, you know, you shouldn't say that. They'd be right about it, people shouldn't say it. You know, because I watched people say things long enough that weren't good, and it turned around, and it happened. I watched them do it. They finally got to the place where they did make a confession of faith. It was on the wrong thing, though. Over time, they put it in themselves the wrong things. Over time, people do that. I can say to give lists of people and that stuff of names of even important people who died at certain ages who made confessions of much over time and saying they would. You know, Elvis Presley confessed time and time he'd never live longer than his mother, and he didn't. I listened to his brother talk about that. I listened to his brother make statements about that. His brother is a minister. He said, yeah, he used to always say that he didn't. I listened to him on a show. They were talking about him dying, and he said, yeah, he said he always said he was going to live longer than my mom. Got that in him, and it worked. See, faith works. It works. Michael Jackson did the same thing. He told Elvis Presley's daughter, who he's married to, said that he was going to be like his dad. He's going to die young. He was. So he told her, that's what he told her. She said, I told him you shouldn't be saying that kind of stuff. But he'd say it. He'd just say it. See, people say, well, this killed him and that killed him. No, it didn't. He killed himself with his mouth. That was just the vehicle that took him out. He had already ordered the vehicle. The vehicle was already ordered.
Yeah.
I know Kenneth Hagin told the story of a Rhema student who died. He was 39 years old. He died, he was a student at Rhema, and Kenneth Hagin said he didn't know, but he was praying about it because he was in the hospital in a coma, and he said he was praying about it, and the Lord said this to him. He heard these words. He said that spiritual laws have been set in motion and cannot be changed. And he thought, well, what's this about? Spiritual laws were set in motion, can't be changed. Well, he found this out later. This young man had been, from the time he was young, saying he wouldn't live to be 40 years old. He died 2 months before his 40th birthday. Even his mother and his brother and I talked about him. Yeah, he used to say this all the time. He wasn't going to live. See, somebody starts here, you start saying something sort of funny. I watch people do this all the time, people, especially people getting older. Well, you know, they laugh and joke about it. You get older, your mind goes on you. And I watch the older people's mind go on. It ain't funny. And don't start saying those stupid things and these stupid things about yourself. Don't start saying those things. Because you keep saying them when you're younger. Don't be surprised. You know, they say, well, they had Alzheimer's. No, they had stupid. When they were back, 30 years old, they had stupid. And they ordered Alzheimer's. They ordered it. Talking stupid. And so we need to understand the power. In other words, things that you believe in your heart that you don't doubt, then you say with your mind, you say with your mouth. We need to understand, this is the second principle. First, you believe it, but you can't doubt in what you believe. This is the principle that Jesus Christ Himself laid out for us. So, He said this, if you have something in your heart that you don't doubt and you say it with your mouth, you will have whatever you say. That's the law of faith. That's the law of faith. You set it in motion. It's a time that you order it. You need to understand this, and I'll get this about faith. See, people don't understand this, these things about faith. Thank God. I don't know why. I just caught on to this stuff as a baby Christian. I caught on to this as how this stuff works. I don't know why, but I didn't go to a faith church as a kid. They knew nothing about these things. You know, God just did whatever He wanted. If He wanted to kill you tomorrow, He killed you. And if He wanted to do this, if, you know, a meteor, you're walking down the road, a meteor hit you on the head, God did it for a reason. You know, as all this stuff was said, I don't know why, but I got a hold of this thing. It's one thing is you need to understand whatever you're believing for, and I want to specifically talk about health because that's a problem with people in the areas. When you set in motion and you make a confession of faith that you believe you receive something, now understand, your confession is to believe you receive it. Your confession is believe, well, you know, I'm believing for it. No, believe you receive it. When you have done that, like say for healing, when that was done, your healing has already begun. It's already started. You do anything beyond that to stop it, you stop. See, people think the healing gets started when I feel better. You haven't got a clue how this works. You don't know. It begins when the act of faith takes place. That's, and anything like, whether you believe in God for money or whether you say, oh God, I just believe I'm receiving such and such amount. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set myself. I believe it. At that time, it is set in motion. That money is coming to me. At that time, it's happening. It's coming to me. It's already started. If it hasn't started, then these things ain't true. He said, you're going to have it. He didn't say you're going to have it immediately. He didn't say, it's faith has started. It's already set in motion. It's working. It is working. You get that in your head. This will keep you from going over and doing stupid later on. It will keep you from getting over this thing of, well, now I'm believing for the manifestation. Not God never told you to believe for the manifestation. He said your job is to believe you receive it. That's when you'll have it. Because that's what Mark 11:24 says about when you pray. Therefore, I say to you, whatever thing you ask, now that word ask there could be the word ask, desire, or require it means. Whatever it is, when you pray, what are you supposed to do? You believe. You believe that you receive them. Them things that you said you believe that you ask for, you must believe you receive it at the time that you pray. Right then. That's your job. Your job is never to try to figure any of it out beyond that time unless the Holy Spirit tells you to do something. That's where you're led by the Spirit. See, some people don't get led by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's trying to tell them something that'll help to bring that to pass, to do something, and they ain't doing it. They ain't paying no attention. So you got to be led by the Spirit. But he says, whatever, when you do this, he said, then you will have them. What? Them things. Them things. You will have them things. You just ask for, you desire to require that you believe you receive. Now, when you pray at the time, the prayer of faith, this isn't, you can't do this for everybody. You can't go around and believe everything for everybody. Haven't you noticed that?
Yes, sir.
If you haven't noticed that, man, you're first grade spiritually, and that's where a lot of people are, first grade spiritually. They haven't noticed. This is like taking a shot at this thing. But we'd go along. This is dealing with yourself. The things that you desire in prayer, not the things that somebody else desires. You know, it's just like other things. There's things that I've done, you know, for Wanda over the years. But you know, I have to get Wanda. She has to be in agreement, with her. She can't rely on me just getting stuff for her. She can't rely on that. She has to operate in faith. She has to go. She has to do it. You know, I listen, and I learned these things listening to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin on some incidences he had with his wife about things. Now, he could believe for divine healing, but she couldn't. And he had to only believe for her and good with her, whatever she could believe from, and she could go. He couldn't get, the Lord told him, his wife was, in one condition at the time, was going to die. And he said, Jesus appeared to him. Because he was praying about his wife, and he said, go talk to her. And he went and talked to her then about it. But, God wanted her to live. Well, see, she was, even if she's going to have an operation, it was a good chance she could die in the operation if she had it. And, but you know what? She had to come to the place that she could believe that she could have the operation, because she couldn't believe to be divinely healed. And so she had to come to the place where she believed that she had the operation, she'd live through it. And that's the way God had to go with it. He went with her faith. He didn't go with Kenneth's faith. It's her faith. And let me just say this to you. You know, whether your children, your grandchildren, or what, you teach them faith. Quit believing everything for them.
Amen.
Quit trying to do everything for them. Teach them. See, we taught our kids good, and when my youngest daughter was 11 years old, the Lord told me concerning healing. She needed healing. He said, you go tell her to pray. She knows how to believe. She knows how to do it. 11 years old. I said, dear God, I said, I can't get the people and adults in the church to do this.
Amen.
And she did. She prayed and got healed.
Hallelujah.
I agree with you. He said, you agree with her, but she's got to pray. She has to do it. She has to use her faith. See, we need to teach people. This, we're not teaching the young people today. The young people today that relied on mommy and daddy till they're 50 years old, they're still reviving. In the church, it's just like the world. I have people all the time, praying for my kids. Say, would you ever tell them to pray for themselves? No, we're trying to bring in stuff. They're always trying to do things. Mom and dad being God. We're going to be their God. They'll come and worship us then. You know, they'll come and say, no, you got to believe God. I've told my kids, son Lily, I say, one day I'll be gone. If you don't know how to follow God, good luck. Because you don't have daddy to rely on about things. You don't have somebody that knows how to agree. You better be the one doing it. You better be the one who knows how to do it. If people look to you to come to agree. Somebody that knows how to do it.
Amen.
See, you got to do these things. These things are hugely, hugely important, and sad to say, people letting go. To me, this is a simple principle. It's very easy. It's not, it can't be any kind of mental challenge, because the Bible tells us God didn't call many wives. So, this is, I guess, what this is faith for dummies I'm teaching. That's what we're doing. We're teaching faith for dummies. I'm knocking you. I was one of the dummies. If I can do it,
Amen.
You ain't got excuse.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, you ain't got excuse. You don't. I've watched people do this stuff over the years. Like I say, as I was going to Fiji and teaching faith in a Bible school there, in that Bible college, and I was teaching on faith, and after a few years went back, and there was this little Fijian woman. She came up to me and she said, I just want to give you a testimony. She said, I sat in your classes. I remembered about seeing her, but I didn't remember her name. She's about this tall. And she said she had her son standing there with her. And she said, I just want to tell you a miracle that happened. But her son got some kind of disease of some sort. They have these tropical certain things that go around their deadly fevers and stuff. And he got and died. He was in the hospital and died. But she said, I said, my son ain't dead. He's alive. My son's not dead, he's alive. And she said, I started doing it. My son didn't lie. Well, I mean, here they did it to her, you know, they taught it. Now, I want you to understand this. Her pastor went to this same college I teach in. And he's trying to talk her out of this. You know, see, she's in shock, see. See, they don't know the difference between faith and shock. That tears 99% of ministers. They don't know the difference between faith and shock. She's saying something. He's dead. Why? He's down in the morgue. They have him in the morgue. He's down in the morgue, covered on a slab down there. He's down in the morgue. He's dead. She said, no, my son's not dead. My son's alive. No, your son's dead. So the doctors called, said, you know, she needs help. Her pastor shows up, and he's trying to talk her out of it. Graduate of the same school. I've had it with Rhema people, too. I've had them tell me, you know, you go too far. You get results. You go too far. But anyhow, and she told me, she said, here's my son today. He said, down, I don't know how, he'd been dead for hours on end. He hadn't down there anymore. The guy goes down, because one of the workers was down in the morgue, and this slab of sheet starts moving. It's this little boy, and he wakes up, and he's just completely fine. This little, by herself, she had to stand through the people in her church running the opposite direction. Now, you can't tell me faith's hard to do. She could do that. You ain't got to. When I hear people like that, I say, Ed, you ain't got, you can't use an excuse. She's standing with that. You don't have an excuse of what you can do. So, now you're not going around just do that to everybody. That was her little boy who she had authority over. You know? You ain't going to do that for everybody else. If you don't get a gift of the Holy Ghost working, you don't get a manifestation of the Holy Ghost working a miracle, or the gift of faith in operation. Most times it's the gift of faith in operation. If you don't have that happen, I've had things where the gift of faith fell on me and I did some things, but they weren't done by Ed's normal faith for individuals. If the gift wouldn't have operated, I'd have never been able to do that for the individual. I'd have never been able to. So, hallelujah, God works. But I want you to get a hold of this. That's a believe that the things that you're supposed to believe, the things that you ask for, request or to ask for, believe that you receive them. It's that, get that into yourself. Meditate on that becomes real to you. That this is what I do when I pray. I believe God gave it to me. I believe God gave me what He said. You cannot believe for anything that you don't know God has given you. You can't do that. That's why you cannot have this thing of sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says wait. That cannot be. There's no place for faith in that. Faith is based on a fact that God has already said it belongs to you. This is why we look at the Scripture, find out, what did I get through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So see, there's one thing, I know this, healing belongs to us. God gave it to us. I can believe I can receive that because it's something given, not something I'm trying to get. It's already given. I'm just receiving what I already have given to me. Every blessing, spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to the church. It's already been given. We're not trying to get God to give it to us. It already belongs to us. It's on our account. It works no different than a bank account. Jesus Christ, when you got born again, He applied whatever blessings that are heavy has to your account. It's yours. Now, what you got to do is draw it out. How do you draw it out? By going and asking and say, well, I'm going to take this. This is what I believe you're going to give me that. Give me that. You know, when I go to the bank, I ask if I want to go in and get cash, you know, or something from the bank. That's the only time if I'd go to a bank, it's usually get cash. You know, you do everything else, you know, you do it all that stuff. But to go to get cash or do something like that, I would go in and I just tell them what I want. I don't stand there, well, I'm just believing for that money. No, the whole time I'm just thinking they're giving it to me. That's called, you know, that I'm acting in a natural faith toward that thing. People, with God, it's all different rigmarole. It's all these songs and dances people go through. Calling it faith, it ain't faith. Hallelujah. See, I believe that person behind that counter is going to come and hand me cash. What I ask for. Stupid me. Well, I believe that about God. What I ask for, I believe, you know, He's the teller handing it out. He goes, yeah, here, Ed, that's yours. That's yours. Amen. You ask for it, that belongs to you. All right. So, He said, you will have it. Now, it doesn't say here's where the inherited faith, because the Bible says, this is why you put scriptures together. The Bible talks about through faith and patience we inherit the promise. Lots of times, see, here we're going to find out whether you have faith or not. Are you still believing you receive it when you can't see it? Are you still believing? See, if you can't, then you're not in faith. Your heart's not in this thing yet. Your heart. See, when your heart comes to the place, you know you got it. See, that's why this past week with the crash of my computer and stuff, I didn't get upset about it because I just knew inside me, it's all going to work out. I'm going to get things fixed. It's going to happen. I know. I'm not going to something else. I can smile and laugh. Now, people say, well, you got to go all this time and work and all this stuff. It's no big deal. Life's work, so get over it. You know, I got used to that. I mean, my words. I've been working since I was 10 years old on farms, working on farms and bailing hay and doing stuff, so I know what work's like. You know, you ain't going to scare me away with sweat. Hallelujah. I got sometimes sweat as much as preaching as I do in other stuff. I go home and phew. But anyhow, so it doesn't matter. See, you get over the things. We're doing something. There's a payoff. You know, I've worked and worked, you know. You work two weeks and didn't get a paycheck. I didn't, you know, you know then 2 weeks, you know, it don't come immediately after that day, you know, is work. So you're gonna get it in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's coming down the road. I go in the next day, even though I know it's still down the road, and I just keep coming in and coming in and going and walking through life and doing that. Well, I'll tell you, it's a coming in. When I set my faith, what I'm believing for has already started coming to me. It's already started. That's already in motion. That's already happening. You need to get that with yourself, because if you don't, you will not be patient and your faith will die. You'll kill your own faith. You don't want to do that. You keep yourself over. It is in motion. I have just set whatever it is that I said I believed I received, I just said it at the time that I spoke those words, it is in motion. So you want to go to that place. Now listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 21, in verses 21 and 22, he says this. So we have Matthew recording this also, so we want to see this because we need to get a hold of this. In Matthew he said, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt. See that? If you have faith, well, where is this faith at? We found it. It's in the heart. Because see, we have scripture that verifies that. If you have faith and don't doubt, in other words, you have faith, so you can have, you know, some faith. You can have a certain amount of faith in a thing. You may have a certain amount of faith that you're assured, and it's not really fully what you'd like to, but enough to know that you can grab a hold of something that you can have. You know, just like there's times of standing in faith, like people say for, you know, to believe God for healing in an area. You might be able to believe, I believe if I go to the doctor, I can believe it, I can do that. Well, using your faith in that direction. I talked about this last year, people come around, well, I'm believing God that if I go and they operate on me, they're not going to find anything. And I'm like, well, if you believe that they're going to operate and not find nothing, why would you go to the doctor? Why would you say, hey, let's go down there and let them cut me open. They're not going to find nothing. I say, well, but see, what you can believe, you can go through. Now, I have seen miraculous things in people and doing that kind of stuff. I've seen Wanda really miraculous stuff with her and that stuff. That just incredible. We had a lady one time agreeing with her. She had a triple bypass. And one of the things, this is what I did with her. She came, you know, and she talked to me about the fact of her. And she was going to go have her operation and that kind of stuff. She was having problems. But I knew she wasn't in a position of faith. She's a Christian, was taught faith, but wasn't in it. You know, it's a shame when you can listen to people and know that they're not in faith and they don't know. They think they are. But see, her doctor said, you have to have the operation immediately. And I just said to her, now you better know what you're talking about when you're doing. And I know, if she does, she's going to have this operation all by herself. I don't care if you're Christian. God may live in your heart and you croak. And I knew it. I said, no. I said, don't you. I said, I don't care what the doctor said. I said, I want you to know something. I said, I can see. Because I knew God had spoke to me about it. So I understand some things of authority. I said, you ain't going to die I said, I'll guarantee you. I said, you take 2 weeks and you do nothing, get into the Word till you are ready for this operation. And I said, before you go in the hospital, you and I are going to agree, and you sit down and decide what you can believe for going through this operation. And we'll agree, and you'll have everything that you agree for. But I said, if you go now, this is just you. I said, God will watch you have the operation, but He ain't going to do nothing about it. See, we don't like to hear those things, but that many times happens. I said, you take 2 weeks. I said, well, you and the doctor can get together, or you and God. You have a choice. You got a choice. Well, she said, okay. She took 2 weeks and she got in faith. I could tell she just changed by taking 2 weeks. See, she had done spend 6 months chasing and doing everything the doctor said and never did what God said. In 2 weeks she could get ready. My God, what if she'd have went for a month? She'd have probably got healed. And wouldn't have had to go. But, no, this is her direction. But anyhow, but the whole thing of it is, we did, got together. So I asked her what she could believe. We talked about it, sat down. She believed she'd go this operation fine. She'd come out. She wouldn't have pain or anything. She was going to have a miraculous recovery. She said, I believe I can do this. I believe God will do this for me. I said, okay, good. This is what we agreed on. She had every bit of it. I was in the hospital when they brought her out into the recovery room, and I was there in the recovery room. You would have thought she'd had operation 2 weeks ago. She was laying in operation in that room. Her complexion was good. She was just good and talking and just as everything, just as all. She went through a miraculous thing. Why? She got ready for it. The reason you've had problems there, you didn't get ready for it. Now, I'm telling you how it works. I know. I've had to do these things. This is where the patience thing that you don't have works if you get it. Faith will give you patience. If you get over it, your faith will take a hold. The devil will say you're going to die. People are going to say you're going to die. But inside you know, this ain't happening. They can talk, say what they want. They can talk and say what they want. I know. If you'd have seen her when she came out of that thing, the doctor came in the room. I walked as a surgeon who had done the surgery, walked in the recovery room, picked up her chart and looked at it. And he said, my God. He said, you're just doing great. Say a good old confirmation of what God. But see, it didn't surprise me at all. That's what we believe for. People say, well, ain't that something? No. The something happened was set in motion when we agreed. Amen. It was already in the work. Her outcome was already in the working. Now, this is something you'll learn and do. You know, God's had me tell people this, going into something, with whether it's an operation or whatever. They set their faith to a direction. And I tell them this, when you come out of your operation, whatever's going on, you don't be moved by anything the doctor says, good or bad. You don't be moved by none of it. You don't be moved by anything. Your faith, you have said, this is the direction you're going. Now you're going to have 27 opportunities to change that, which most people do, by what they hear coming out. Because the most important voices in their life is their doctors or anybody that has an education. It's never their pastor. It's never their... It's always somebody else knows more. It's good preaching, folks. What are you kidding? But I'm just going to tell you, I learned how it works. You can't be moved by what they say. Say, no, this is what I believe I got. This is what... You know, I don't fuss with anybody. Somebody, you know, they say to me, I don't say anything back to them. I just praise God. I just believe, hallelujah, I know what I got. Hallelujah. I ain't changing what I say. I ain't fussing with somebody who don't understand. We ain't going that place. Hallelujah. They can say what they want. I just say, the doctor, well, thank you. I thank you for letting me know what you know and that kind of stuff. But hallelujah. Me and Jesus already discussed it. You know? Huh. See, you got to get yourself into that place. Whatever it is, where you're going in the level of faith that you're going at. I just want to encourage you, because Jesus made this statement here. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say this mountain be moved and be cast in the sea, it will be done. Now listen, here Luke wrote this, Jesus said, Luke 17:6 says, the Lord said, this is Jesus, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So you put this thing. He's talking about something you believe, something you say. Now, let's see. People talk about mustard seed faith. See, you only need a little bit of faith. That's not what it's talking about at all. This is a seed that produces. The reason they use a mustard seed, it's small, but it produces a mustard tree. That's what it does. It's small, but it produces it. In other words, if that seed isn't pure, if it has any impurity in it, it ain't going to produce what you want it to produce. It ain't about. He was just using the fact. Basically, he's saying it's pure faith. You got pure. You have faith of nothing doubting. See, any faith, it might not seem like much, but what my faith I have will produce whatever it is that I want to produce. I can produce it. If I say it, I can produce that. It isn't about having. You just have a little bit of faith. Well, the Bible, Jesus told the disciples, he rebuked them for their little faith. If little faith was all right, this is what this was talking about, then we're going to have trouble with Jesus because he's a double talker. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. He rebuked the disciples on more than one time for their little faith. So we need to get this stuff in ourselves. Read the whole scripture. And people run around, yeah, if you just have a little faith. And I tell you, and their congregation's full of people with just a little bit of faith, and they ain't going nowhere. Why was it big miracles exploding? Because that's not what it's talking about. See, a seed in its purity. This is why believing the Word of God, he's talking about faith in the Word of God. One Word of God has the power to bring to pass whatever that Word says. Why? The Bible tells us what kind of word. He's talking about faith in God. He's not talking about just me and some kind of general belief in something. Talking about faith in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that this is an incorruptible, the incorruptible Word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. There's no corruption in it. You believe it, it's pure. Hallelujah. See, it's pure. Don't doubt it. Hallelujah. See, you want to walk in this area of faith, and this is what we need to see as Christians. It's the power. This amazes me. God gives us the power. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believeth. We're talking about following the Word of God. This is a phenomenal thing. He's given it to us. He says, here it is. And the church has run away from it and run away from it and run away from it. This powerful thing. Well, God just does what he wants. He gave us his word to show what he wants. But we're the guys that bring it to pass. We determine whether or not these things will come to pass. Get it within yourself. You know, find where you're at in faith. Walk where you can in faith. I always encourage people, go to the level that you can and walk and do that. Don't do things without using your faith. Wherever you can apply your faith to, I do this in my own personal life. There's things that I could go purchase or do, but I don't. I believe God for it just to have things to maintain my faith to do things. This is one of the problems with wealth. Wealth generates faithless people. It don't have to, but it does mostly. Because as soon as people get money, they're just out buying what they want. They forgot the days when they had to trust God to get some. See, I don't want to leave those days. I don't want to leave those days when I had to trust God every day. I don't want to leave those days. Why? Because when something bad happens in your life, you're not sharp in faith. And you're going to be behind, and you may not be able to get caught up till that thing overruns you. This is what happens to many people health-wise. They've started too late on getting on the faith wagon for healing. They don't have time to catch up, and it overtakes them. See, this is something. Faith is a walk. It's a way of life. It's not something you do when something comes up. Amen. It's a way of living. It's a way of life. So you want to get that into your mind and get that into your thought. There's a way of living. You know, there's a way of doing things. You know, there's a way of getting paychecks, of getting up every morning and going to work. Until, you know, we started getting to politicians say, well, we'll just give you money and you can stay home. And the good politicians, we called them good politicians, and they did it. I mean, when COVID came, the Republicans threw us as much under the bus as the Democrats did. You know, trillions of dollars sent out to people who don't work. Yeah, we're going to solve the problem. This is going to fix it. I'll tell you what. Yeehaw! And when I watched this stuff going on in here, I thought, my God, the Antichrist is running. I said, he's already in power. He's already running the show. Hallelujah. Well, we just keep smiling. But you know, see, you and I keep walking right. We keep doing right.
Amen.
We keep following what's right. See, I know Christians who quit their jobs because they could stay home and get free money. And then things went south for them. I had a guy call me for help. I said, you don't need help. You need repentance. Help? I said, you run off. And I said, you had a good paying job. He was an assistant manager at a place. Went and left it because he'd get free money from the government. And then turn around and lost his house and I don't know what all. He says, at best, it has good. I said, you learn a good lesson. You learn a good lesson. Being stupid. Going around here following after the devil, leaving the principles of the word, talking about being spirit-filled Christian. I said, what spirit do you have? I want to know that. I don't want to know that one. I don't want to know that spirit. But people do that. See, people do. They come along, you know, it's a blessing. Oh, it's just a great blessing. I can do this. I don't have to trust God. I can lay in bed in the morning. And money comes in. Oh, my. Repentance. Here's a good scripture in Proverbs. I love, because see the scripture, this is where faith comes from. Here's what a good scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. See, this is the principle of faith. Faith comes out of the heart to the mouth. It doesn't, see, everybody's trying to do it. They're just trying to use the mouth on faith. Just the mouth. No, it's the heart. The heart. See, you get it in your heart. Hallelujah. And your heart, if you learn to listen on the inside, your heart will tell your mouth what to say. It'll tell you what to speak. Learn to do that. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. I don't say anything. Why? So listen, his heart. He's speaking out of what's on the inside. He's speaking those things. That's what you got to learn to do. Now, we've all been... How many of you... You know, people say, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I always tell them, just keep as much as you can. You ain't got much. Don't give it away. Whatever you do. Just keep it. Don't give anybody. Don't give a piece of your mind. You ain't got enough left. See, we've all done... Have you? You ever give a person a piece of your mind? And then have to repent later for giving a piece of your mind? You know what you're saying? I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't from my heart. That was all flesh. It just rolled out. I let my flesh get a hold of my tongue. And it gave the wisdom of my flesh, which was really good. I just... I know you guys don't do that stuff. It's just me. I know, I don't. But I'll tell you my mistakes so you can cheer. Okay? Say, oh, he's stupid. And you go to look in the mirror and say, oh, that was me. Oh. But see, number one, you can see about yourself. There's one thing. The word's a mirror. And if you're really in the word, you know, I'm just telling you, this is why a lot of people, Christians, don't like the word, because they look and it's a mirror. They see themselves and it isn't the light. They scare a true reflection. The word will show you what you're really like.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Preach.
It does. You know, it shows you the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, yours bad. I had a lot of ugly. You ever get that? You had a lot of ugly, you know.
Amen.
Wasn't bad, it was ugly. The good and the bad. But it shows you, and that's what it does. I know it. There's people I know for a fact don't like to go to the Bible because they say, I just feel condemned. Well, no. It's your own heart condemning you. God doesn't. Your heart says, see what you're like? Your heart's saying, look, I've been trying to tell you to walk right and you won't. You just follow the flesh. And they say, like it's God's word. No, your own heart. You see, that's your heart. Your heart wants to follow God. Your heart, you're born, or you ain't born again. Your heart don't want to follow God. You ain't born again. I know who you belong to, but it ain't God.
Amen.
Your heart's desire. Your heart will try to lead you in line with God. When your heart sees the word, it delights.
Mm-hmm.
It's its food. It's what it loves. It's what gives it strength.
Amen.
And when you look in on your heart, your own heart will say to you, see, I told you not to do that. See, you see that reflection? Oh. See, like the throw, I don't like to look at it. No, the real you is telling you how ugly you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not following.
Amen.
You're following the flesh instead of following the word.
Amen.
But see, there's one thing about it. You got to look at it because you can never correct. You can't correct what you don't. See, they don't ever look in the mirror. Say, oh, I'm looking fine. I'm walking around, you know. Their hair looks like a bird's nest and everything's all messed up and everything else. You know, they're walking around out there. You know, I don't get people. Because, see, people see how stupid we are. You don't hide it. You know, people are always trying to hide things. Always trying, like, no, like nobody else knows and everybody knows. You know? It's like we try to hide something from Wanda. She knows, you know, it's just it. It's just it. It is what it is. Get over yourself, you know? Hallelujah. So you got to understand that about yourself. See, we're so self-aware. It's mostly selfishness. But see, that's the natural thing in the flesh. But see, our heart's not like that. Our heart desires to follow God. Our heart desires, and your heart will show you when you need to change. Your own heart corrects you. God don't have to condemn you on nothing. Your own heart is good at doing that. Your own heart. My own heart is good at saying to me, knock it off, knucklehead. You ain't been supposed to be doing that. You know better. I don't need the Holy Ghost to tell me.
Amen. Preach.
People always throw the thing over there. God doesn't know. Because the Bible said, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you can ask God. And you know you're going to get what you... See, if your heart doesn't... It didn't say if God did, if God don't condemn you. It says your own heart. Your faith is based on your own heart can go against you because you walk and live in the flesh instead of walking and living out of the inner man. And will not allow you to bring things to pass. Your own heart. People don't read that in the Bible. You know, they just pick out their favorite scriptures of it. See, when your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence toward God. If your heart condemns you, you go there and play the faith game all you want. Your heart say, I ain't going with you. You better get along good with God on the inside. Because that's the place of the power of God. That is the place. Ministry gifts, spiritual gifts, everything operates out of there. It doesn't operate out of your mind or your things. It operates through your mind, but it comes out of your spirit. It's what's on the inside. You know, just like up here in worship, when God was talking about some things, I was looking up some stuff in the scriptures, and the Lord speaks to it. It's down in here. It's in the inside. All of a sudden, I get these intuitions, and I start just following them. It's down here on the inside. Of things to do, things to hook up with, and things that we need to follow. Now listen. Here's another Jesus in Matthew the 12th chapter. I want to read this to you. Jesus said this, Matthew 12, verse 34. Now this is Jesus. He was speaking to the Pharisees who came to him. He says this. He said 34. He said, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things?" He said, "For what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. See, we're operating, we just look around here in the world. People are, you know, there's evil people in this world, and we don't like to admit it. We don't want everybody. Now, I've heard spirit-filled ministers say this. People are basically good. And I think, God, is this guy even saved that he could say such a stupid thing? Number one, a person without Christ is basically evil. He's not. They're not going to be in heaven. They're not going to be a God. They're not. We don't like to deal with this subject. See, ours is, we set a standard of good in our nation. A culture set what they think is good, and they set that. And if people fall within their parameters, everybody says they're a good person. God don't think so. But Christianity does. Christian, oh, that's a good person. That's a good. You know, they did something nice. The devil will do nice things to lure you in.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
What's in abundance? Evil. Well, you know, there's a thing called end result. I don't care what looks good. It's how it turns out. I don't care what it looks like going in. How does this situation, how's it going to turn out? If we follow this. See, basically we operate here in America. And if we would look at, you know, how our government works and people do. It's all how it looks going in. Nobody ever checks to see how's this going to turn out. And most people, even Christians, operate that way. Well, this puts a band-aid on it right now, and I feel better. But when it's all over, man, am I going to feel bad. Because this thing is going to blow up in our face. See, we don't look at it. This is the one thing that I love about faith in God. You know when you go in, the result at the end.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what faith's about. Faith is receiving the the result. You know why people have a hard... Let me tell you why you have a hard time with faith. It's about your flesh. Your flesh wants the result instantaneously. And when you have to stand, we won't stand for the result. That's where the problem comes. The impatience, standing for the result. You declare the result, and that's what God is going to bring to pass. The result that you of what you ask for, and you believed you've received. That is what's set in motion to come to pass, the end result. So you have a choice. You can make a confession of faith and then try to find a band-aid to fix it to keep you happy. And then never end up with a result because you left faith.
Amen.
Or stand till you get the result that you asked for and believed you received. This is about faith. I've never taught it this way before. This just came to me. See, faith's about the inner. This is why we look in our nation. This is why everything's so messed up. We can know that Christianity has left and moved away from God generally in our nation because we're not results. We're not looking at results. We're looking at trying to make everybody happy now. We got to all get along with each other. See, if we do all this stuff getting along with each other, what's the end result going to be? Nobody with Jesus. Or we can stand up and preach the gospel and speak to what's true, and it might be hard on people's flesh, but do we want the end result?
Amen.
The salvation of men. No, we want to have everything tiptoe through the tulips right now, and we're all getting our little ukuleles out, just ready to play. We all love each other. We're not interested in results. Faith is, this is why it's hard, because our culture does not move toward this, and the church culture doesn't move toward this. This is why faith requires, through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. That's not fun for the flesh, but you learn to train your flesh. You know, I thank God. I mean, years ago, I mean, my computer, my laptop would have blew up, did what it did. It would have been, bunny, unthrew the things. But I've learned over time about end result. That's what I'm pushing for. Work in between don't matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with nothing. I might have to work in between whether that's there or not. That doesn't matter. There's stuff you got to do in life. You just got to get over this stuff. You got to get over these things. And I've learned over time. Now, I wasn't like that, you know, because Gwanda said, well, you're awful happy. She said, you're awful happy. I said, well, what am I going to do? You know, I said, I refuse to cry about this thing. I said, it's going to be all right. And, you know, stuff's gone. It's not. Why? Well, I've been here on this road for, I've done things different ways. And I've ended up with results I didn't like. Now, I'm going to make a choice. What result do I want?
Amen.
Now, and we'll get over onto this. We're going to go into, because we're talking about speaking and what you're saying. It's important about what you say. You let out of your, get the Word of God in you and say what the Word of God says. Speak what God says. What you believed you received, you asked from God. You believe you receive it, then you have it. You know, I've got those people, I said, you know, when I got born again the night I got saved, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel like, you know, I even heard Kenneth Hagin said, oh, he's about the great weight over his life and stuff and all this kind of stuff. I didn't feel nothing like that. I didn't have any kind of physical sense of anything. All I did was this, I just knew I did the right thing. That's all it was for me, was I knew I did the right thing. That was it. I didn't have any kind of, you know what, and I was really glad I did. Because people that have emotional things that have they go through never do quite as well, usually. They don't. Because they always going to think God's moving when you have an emotional experience. See, I didn't think, you know what? I had no emotional experience when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, the Word says I can speak in other tongues, and I'm going to speak in other tongues. And I started talking in other tongues, and I had no emotional experience in it at all. But I'm going to tell you what, did I ever get results? I started praying in tongues, and things started happening. Gifts started manifesting through me and all kinds of stuff. See, most people want the emotional goosebumps. I'll tell you, I will take the manifestations any day.
Amen.
I'll take the gifts of the Spirit over goosebumps any day. I will take God moving through me and speaking to me and doing things any day over the feelings. See, we just want feelings for ourselves. The baptism of the Holy Ghost ain't about feelings for you. It's about ministering to others. That's what the baptism isn't about you. It's about others. Well, I just felt the power of God did surge. I see people that felt the power of God did surge. Hey, good, haven't I? I felt the power of God have surge on me. It don't move me because I've had too many experiences where I didn't have any power surge yet miraculous happened. I've had it. It's like a guy, no feeling at all. And a rod disappears out of his back? Dear God. It didn't get one goosebump out of that. You'd have thought I'd have got a couple. I don't know. Said I got a home and had to put an ice cube on me to get a goosebump. You'd think something. All I'm doing is acting in faith. I'm just acting in what I know and believing in what you do. You know, that's all we're doing.
Amen.
And it works. Hallelujah. Guy's welded back and his vertebrae ain't welded no more. There's a metal rod gone. My, isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, I didn't do it. I didn't even know. I didn't have no idea nothing of that. I didn't know what was going on. Just praying for God and he's back. Hallelujah. God's working. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. As we go on and teach this, we're going to go into the things because these two parts here that we did, we're going to go into the part of acting in faith. We're going to talk about these things. We're going to go into some areas that generally are not taught in faith because we don't deal with the areas many times of the natural side and the spiritual side of things, because many times people are doing things that can be done from the standpoint of, from the natural standpoint, need to be done. And they're just trying to carry everything over to the spiritual side, and things ain't working. There's one thing is about this. Faith without works, or faith without corresponding action, is dead. When you believe you receive something, it should change what you do.
Amen.
From then on. If it doesn't change what you do, your faith will die. Your actions are part of what sustains you till what you believe you received manifests, till it comes to pass, you see it, your eyes. And I want to tell you what, I've probably seen more people fail in this area than any area. The Lord told me about it when Kenneth Hagin told about it with faith, when the Lord told him, because the people in his day didn't know about confession. He said, the Lord told him, they believe what the Bible says, but they're saying the wrong things, and you need to teach them. So, and that's what he did. He said, you need to teach them. He took from Mark 11:23, you need to teach them three times more about the confession side than you do the believing side. They knew how to believe. But the Lord told me, this has changed. He said, we've had all kind of teaching on confession. And he said, people are confessing, but they don't do nothing. And he said, it ain't working. You need to start talking on doing. And see, this is one of the things he really emphasized me, and I didn't realize this till I looked back. Well, he started me off on this thing because I really got an interest right after I got born again. Brother Hagin would talk about acting on the Word, and then like Smith Wigglesworth said, faith's an act. And so I really got interested in that, about what do you do? What do you do once you have said you believe you received something? What do you do beyond that? See, your actions beyond that will either fortify what you believe or it'll destroy it. What you act and what you do. So, other words, sometimes in actions, even the actions of your own mouth and stuff, what you're saying is involved in that. What you're doing, what you go around and talk. You know, you don't have to answer everybody's questions that they want to give you. You know, you don't have to tell them what the doctor's report was. You don't know that to nobody. You can look at them and say, that ain't none of your business. Most Christians need to hear that more often. Because they love to go tell the bad side of the story. People go, you know what the doctor said about that? You know what the doctor said? What did the doctor say? Well, you know, he's God, you know, so we're meditating on that. We're getting it in us real good. Then we're going to go pray. Oh, we're going to release our faith. Yeah. Oh, what a meddler. I tell you. No, I know, because I've gone through this. Look, I'm just telling you, you go through these things, and you know, there's some things I just stumbled on. Sometimes you just learn from experience of doing the wrong thing. But I run into a lot of people, they don't run. They never learn by doing the wrong thing. They'll be doing the same wrong thing after they've done it 450 times, 9,000 times, and it never worked, and they're still doing it. But it's learning these things. It's learning things about natural things. There's natural things that if you don't change certain natural things, you're not going to, healing wouldn't do you a bit of good.
Amen.
It won't help you. You'll be back in the same situation all over again. We're going to talk about these things because we're talking about faith. Don't waste your faith. Don't waste your time. You know, Randy Greer has a series that's called How to Waste Your Time Praying. Good series. Christians lay a lot of time. People say they don't have time to pray. The reason they don't have time to pray is because 3/4 of their prayer life ain't worth nothing. Would have been better if you hadn't done it. You know, if you don't know what to pray, just pray in tongues. Just spend time, just pray in tongues. But don't get your mouth running out there. trying to do things and stuff, and ain't none of yours anyhow, and you can't change it. Just going to town, doing stuff, calling it praying. And I just call it this, blowing wind. Amen. And I've done that already. I've blown wind.
Amen.
I've blown wind. You know, not listening on the inside, praying. Remember one time praying, over a couple years period of time, praying for an individual on the problem of things. Yet I knew when I was doing this, somehow on the inside, something wasn't catching. You know? Now, I'm just, maybe you're faster than I am, but sometimes I can get pretty slow by. You know, because see, you get this, you're mad. Well, you gotta love people and you pray for them, you want the best. You know, you can love people and want to do the best for them, but sometimes you can't do it and you need to find it out quick and don't waste your time. So I go along for all this time. Finally, it's one night, I said, Lord, I said, Holy Spirit, you ain't hooking up with me at all in this. I said, I'm praying this. I said, this is me. This is it. This is me. Now, I know none of you guys ever did. It's just, I said, I'm praying. But I've learned this. If heaven ain't in your praying, if God ain't hooking up with you, it's just you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing, I said, Lord, I've been talking about this individual. I said, boy, you need to see this change. And so you're praying for God to do something. And the Lord just cleared it. See, he never answered me or ever said anything. Why? Because I'd never asked a question. You need to understand this. Lots of times you don't get answers from God. You're sitting in the middle of a problem, but you never ask God specifically a question. You never said to God, God, why ain't this working? Because see, you're playing over in this religious spot. Well, I can't make a confession. It's not working. And if you know in your heart it ain't working, get over yourself. Quit being so stupid.
Amen.
Well, this is good talk. I know, I've been stupid.
Amen.
So here I'm praying. I did this more than one time with individuals, and God had to straighten me out on it. But when I said to him, I said, what's going on with this individual? And it's just as clear. He had never talked to me about it in 2 years. And just when I asked him that night, he said, it ain't doing you any good to pray for that person. They know what to do and won't do it. I'm thinking, good Lord. Spend all this time. See, we have the idea you just pray for a person. We always treat people like they don't know what's going on around them. A lot of people know a lot more of what's going on than you realize.
Amen.
I had another individual doing the same thing, praying for the individual, praying for him. Finally stopped to ask the question. And the Lord said to me, he spoke to me, because he had never spoke to me about it before. And he said, they're hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And as soon as he said that, I knew, I have wasted all this time praying for this person. He could have told me that if I'd asked before about the person. You know, usually we don't ask anything going into prayer. We just run our mouths. Huh? Guilty? 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 What if we ask God something? Wouldn't that be a phenomenal thing about what we're going to go pray about? What if we ask about the individual? We ask about the situation. We might get some wisdom of what to pray about. But don't feel bad. I mean, I've done this. We don't ask questions. But see, we were told not to, you know. Don't ask God anyway. Just, you know. He's God. He's nervous. Got up out of the wrong side of bed today and he's a little grumpy. So he might not want to answer your question. No, I found out we don't do that. What we do is we pray, usually entering the thing on our mind, what we think we know or whatever. Lots of times you don't know people's hearts and what they are. Now let me tell you, that person, he was hard-hearted and stiff-necked. You'd see that person from the outside. They didn't seem that way. But once he told me that, there's things I started catching about that individual. But see, you don't know what to look for. You don't know what to see. And I started to realize this. This person's, you know, up in very old age now and has had lousy health for the past 25, 30 years. Has just been miserable life. Not being able to get around well or do anything like that. Wouldn't listen to anybody. Wouldn't listen to anything. Played Mr. Spiritual, you know. Seminary graduate and everything else and all kind of things. But his problem wasn't from his ignorance. It was from his arrogance. He thought he's smart. But he didn't follow wisdom. That comes from God. You're going to have to get, I don't know any other way to get it. You go to God. Hallelujah. You see, God wants to do things for us. God wants your faith to work. Ask him when you go to praying about things, you know, with other people. You know, identify yourself of where you're at. Be honest with God where you're at when you go and you approach God. You don't have to put on any airs with Him. He knows what you're lack. He knows everything.
Amen.
He knows. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strengths. He knows those things and that stuff. One thing is, I always approach God from just this standpoint. I need you. I wouldn't be praying and doing something if I didn't. This is just downright. At my best, I still need you. Or we don't have any more best. Best junk ends. And so, get yourself over this. Give yourself thought. I've learned this. This one thing is, I'd always admired in Brother Hagedy's teaching. All the things that he understood and knew, yet he was not a man that ran into prayer. He would take prayer as a thing, as a really a conscious thought about what's going to God, about knowing from God. He didn't just up and pray for his family when a health thing arose. He would meditate on the word and things, that he was ready to release his faith. And I looked at that, well, my God, he got the results. See, that's what, is that what we're praying for? Results or talk? I think sometimes just talk. It's like results. Sometimes we don't know about results. You should know about results going in.
Amen.
Because that's what you're asking for.
Amen.
Get that within yourself. When I believe I receive, this is my result. This is where I'm at. This is what I declared, and I'm saying that I believe God will bring to pass for me. I'm going to tell you what, you'll have things come along that want to offer you something else. They will. The things will come along in life, you know. Say, well, do I really want this? Did I put this out there? Let's carry it out. See, I wouldn't back off my faith from something without approval from God. I talk to Him about it. I won't back off of something unless we talk about it. Him and I, see, and we need to. God wants me to shift, I'll shift. Whatever else. But I want to talk to Him about it. I can't let the situations or what looks good, bad, or whatever change that. I need to set myself in a direction. And you learn to do that. Learn to be a person of your word. Remember, those are your words that you said when you prayed.
Amen.
You took God's word, but you made them yours. And your words are what's going to try to bring it to pass. It's your words. It's your words is doing that. And if your words ain't no good, you're a person that don't keep words. So you want to do that. Be a person of your word.
Amen.
You want to do that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to look at that, but we're going to look at action-wise, because one of the things I think, when God taught me and there's things I've already many times talked about, experiences I had. But the greatest results of some things that I had standing doing were my actions, what I did. My actions many times were the power behind my faith. I was acting like the word's true when it didn't look true at all. When everything was the opposite direction. But my actions, what I did. See, the Lord spoke to me back some few years ago and told me, He said, you do radical things. He said, that's why you've seen radical things. You do radical things. See, if anything going to find out, people are always going to try to tame you down if you get too much on the God thing. People don't like radical. When I came into the kingdom, it was people were pretty radical. Boy, they sure have tamed down. My God. They were hot then, and today, my words, they're so cold, you hardly get a match burned near them. We've become dignified. I ain't figured out how to do that yet. I haven't got that smart. I'm still undignified. I'm still undignified.
Thank you.
But I'm still getting results.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I just decided, you know, something I hadn't done. I made, just like you're doing things, your faith, you know, make statements. I thought about it yesterday. I was out and I was doing. I was running yesterday. I was out and I hadn't been doing that for a long time. I was out running. I went out for a run. I thought about this because I had an area I used to go out years ago and run. It was a 3-mile course, and then I had a 5-mile course, and there was like a 7-mile course. From where I left my place, I could run any of those. I could do those out there. And I used to run them. But it concerned the 3-mile course. I made this statement many times. When I'm in my 70s, I'll still be able to run 3 miles.
Amen.
And I still can.
Good.
But see, you know, the Lord reminded me. He said, you set this in motion years and years ago. Set this in motion. See, what do you have looking out down the future? What do you have coming?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have coming setting down the road? What's getting older to you Are you looking around at people? Or what? See, I'm not looking around at people that are my age.
Amen.
I'm not looking at them to try to decide my destiny.
Amen.
Because I don't lots of times like to be around sometimes older people because of the way they talk. I don't like to be around their conversations. I don't like to be around them. Because to them, getting old is all, this is bad. It's not, I think it's a pretty good life.
Hallelujah.
I got all these years of accumulation. I've got a little bit of knowledge. I know how to live this thing now. See, these people never learn how to live the thing. All they do is, old is bad. Now they got it. They got their bad. But they plan. What they don't realize, they plan this stuff. They have set it. It's deep seated in them. You decide. What do you want for your future? And I said, and the Lord reminded me yesterday, I was out, and I'd ran a little over 3 miles, and the Lord reminded me of what I said. He said, you remember what you said? He said, when you were in your 70s, you said you're going to be able to run 3 miles when you're in your 70s. And actually, I can run further than that. But see, I said something. See, there's an end result. What I said back there was for an end result. And it wasn't for many, many, many years to come. But I had already said that. And you know what? I said that from my heart.
Amen.
Amen. And as a destiny, it's set down the road. Amen. See, what are you waiting for? What have you said that's waiting for you down the road? What have you been talking that's waiting for you down the road? Is it good, bad, or ugly? You may need to repent about what you... You may need to get something in you.
Great preacher.
Let me tell you this concerning Brother Hagin. See, when I first came into the kingdom, I listened to Brother Hagin teach. God had taught me in some things about the longevity of your life. I didn't learn it from Brother Hagin because Brother Hagin didn't teach it. Brother Hagin talked certain things, but Brother Hagin used to use a scripture from the Psalms that talked about, you know, 60 years, you know, with strength 70 or, you know, more. That thing was speaking about Israel going into the wilderness. See, that was Israel going. If a guy was 20 years old, he wasn't going to live to be no more than 60. If a guy went in there and he was 30, maybe he could make it close to 70. See, this whole, he would be 70 years old maybe by the time they hit. That wasn't the church. This is talking about people in disobedience. Brother Hagin, you stop that. He said, well, live a long life. He said, well, he used to say about it, but he would talk that stuff. And I said, you know, that ain't what Scripture teaches. I began to look. You know, I looked at Caleb as 80 years old, and this is what the Lord gave me a revelation as a young Christian. This will be helpful to you. At 80 years old, Caleb went into the land, 80 years old, and led the army. Now look, their army, Jay, basically was from 20 years old to 50 years old. That was how Israel ran their army. He's 80 years old, and he leads the army to take the land God gave him. Now, this is what the Lord taught me about faith. This will help you. We're going to talk about, and I will throw a little thing here about doing, why the doing is important. You need to get this. The Lord spoke to me about it. He said, do you think he was sitting in his rocker in front of his tent and rocking and doing? He said, he was training with the army all the time. He was going with the army. He didn't have to, but he was acting like when he got in. Look, when he went into that land, finally got to go, he was 80 years old. He was 40 when this thing started. Those bad mouth people kept him out in the wilderness. You think God's going to take him in that land and he can't enjoy it? He said, I ain't going in this land and croaking. We ain't going to that place. I'm going to be able to enjoy it. I'm going to be so good, I'll lead the army in and we'll whoop these boys and I'm going to live some time, enjoy this land. And he said, no. He said, his actions, the Lord told me, he was acting like he was going to enjoy that land. He wasn't living like an old man.
Amen.
He's living with people that ain't doing nothing but dying. But he ain't. Why? I got a reward in that land. What do you think your reward is? What are you doing? What's your actions today? What are you doing?
Amen.
Well, when you get older, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know how it is when you get older. Say, well, it's a good chance you won't. See, you set a destiny. See, I learned that a long time ago. Well, see, you know, and this is what happened to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin found out that he was wrong. He had Keith Moore teach one night in a meeting. And Keith Moore got, you know, over the areas of longevity and got teaching some things. And a light came on in Brother Hagin. But I want you to see this. What happened? I don't think he had time to change it. Sometimes it takes time to turn things around. You get in you, it takes time. But he saw it. See, there's one thing as I watched with Brother Hagin. He lived like he's getting old. He was not a man, he'd say, you know, bodily exercise profits a little. He's right, it does. From the standpoint of spirituality, what it'll do for you. But I'm going to tell you what, I learned this from my dad. Now, he died at 90. My dad was, when he was in his 80s, he was still working for my brother as a contractor. He'd go out on a job. And he said, you either get up and go or do, or you ain't going to get up.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
Brother Hagin should have got up.
Amen.
He had too many lunches. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a man. I love to say the most wonderful things. Man, I'm gonna tell you, I love him. I love what he. I mean, what I learned from him is phenomenal. But he wasn't God, and he didn't know everything. Now that's hard for some people to take. I mean, that's just, you know, he was to be the first guy to tell you. I mean, I got him on MP3s numbers of times saying things about, man, I'd hate to think this is all I know. You know, and we really, man, he said, I don't say this thing because I said, boy, we really don't know much. Boy, that ain't the American way. No, it's act like you know everything. this is good. But see, this stuff we learn. And see, we just humbled ourselves. I thank God of what we know.
Amen.
I can say this, what I got from God. Hallelujah. I got from God. And I learned some things over time. Hallelujah. Like, I got to learn so many wonderful, wonderful principles of Scripture from Brother Hagin. I mean, I just so thankful that I got to follow a man who walked for so many years that laid down a foundation in me that is just, if anything, I've learned beyond. And he said we ought to go further than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And so we shouldn't, if we only got to the where he's at, then we didn't fulfill what he said we were supposed to do, go beyond. Mm-hmm. There's things to understand and know beyond. Thank God, there is. Hallelujah. But we still stop and say, my God, look how little we know. Glory to God. Well, we're going to take communion this morning, hallelujah, because this is the whole thing. The foundation of all this thing, of walking by faith, whatever it is, it requires fellowship with God to make this thing work. This is how it works. It doesn't work any other way. If God isn't in it, it's just you or me.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to, you know, push and force things and doing stuff, you know, trying to make things happen and do that. See, we're supposed to enter into rest, and rest is a place of faith. But there is no faith without fellowship with God.
Amen.
It's what He has done for us is why we can walk in this principle. This principle is founded in it. It's founded in it. Because it's founded. We're talking about the principle that's founded in faith in God's Word. That's where it's at. It's in faith in God's Word. There's a lot of things you can have faith in. I mean, the world can bring things to pass by what they keep believing and saying. They can bring things to pass. That's not what we're trying. We're not trying to bring our wills to pass. It's about bringing God's will to pass. And you know what? God has a lot of wonderful things of His will He wants to bring to pass in your life of blessing. Hallelujah. That His desire that He got for you in Christ Jesus. And He's not holding it back at all. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And we're going to go on and look in Scripture. I mean, God is so good and His blessing to humanity. And you're going to find out that we can walk in this thing of faith. It's not some hard, complicated thing. It's this easy thing to do. Hallelujah. It's not hard to do. Glory to God. But there's fellowship with God. Without that, there's a security that you have in Him. As number one is a prayer life becomes a different thing when you have fellowship with God.
Hallelujah.
When you're communing with somebody that you're connected to, that you're not just blown, like some people say, well, I'm praying, it don't seem like my prayer's reaching the roof. You're not in fellowship. You don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get Him to do something, and somehow you don't have the connection. You don't see that He's into this thing, that He's, you know, God in His presence. People have to feel something. They don't understand the things of faith. I have no feeling this morning that God lives inside of me. I have no feeling about it at all. But I know it's true.
Amen.
See, as number one, I have seen the manifestations of it by walking by faith. I have seen what the one on the inside of me manifests because of walking by faith. Thank God it's good every once in a while to get a goosebump feeling, but you can't be moved by that. You can't be moved by those things. Amen? So as we do today's cake communion, we're focused on Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what He is. Without Him, we can do nothing. And that's not just a nice saying.
Amen.
When I found out that I could set my destiny, that God would put that into my hand, I thought,
hallelujah.
God, He's phenomenal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That He tells us, and really, faith is about the future. Your faith's about your future. What do you want to happen? What's your tomorrows? What do you expect? What do you believe you're going to receive? God's going to manifest for you. These are about our tomorrows. People say, well, I'm just living day by day. I'm sorry, I'm not. See, they think there's this thing about Christian life, living day by day. That's a bunch of junk. Faith's about setting a future. About planning tomorrow before it gets here. About confessing about... Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just pray this morning. This is Your dear people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You saved them. Oh, how You loved humanity. How You loved them. Even, Lord God, before they ever came to know You, You loved them. You saw them. And Lord God, because Your great wisdom, You knew that one day they were going to respond to You. Hallelujah. You saw that they were going to be Yours. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, and how You smiled at that day. How You rejoiced at that day. Hallelujah, that they would come. Oh, that all that You had planned for them. Lord God, in Your operation of faith, not just planned for them in this life, but the Word tells us the things that You're going to show us, that You plan for us in the eons of time to come. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, You have things that You set out there for us. Hallelujah. A future of glory, future of blessing set out there before us. Hallelujah. Things we can't even see, things that the Word has doesn't even bring up or show us. Hallelujah. But You got plans. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, you've set a wonderful destiny for us. And Lord, it's the least we can do is commit ourselves to You. And that's what we do today, Father. And Jesus, I just want to say thank You that we have the opportunity of having fellowship with You through the Holy Spirit. Lord, the Scripture talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And through that fellowship of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is made real. Hallelujah. And that's what we desire today. And Lord, as we come to these elements, we come with great respect and great honor to the One who saved us, the One who redeemed us. So thankful that Your presence is in us by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That having the Spirit of God is just like having Jesus Himself. Hallelujah. Inside of us. Speaking to us. Revealing His glory, His wonders to us. Hallelujah. Comforting us. Whatever we might be going through. Whatever kind of pressure you're feeling. Whatever's going on. The great Comforter's inside of you today. Hallelujah. He's inside of you. Hallelujah. He isn't saying to you, well, you better worry about this. No, He's speaking comfort to you. He's speaking words to you. Hallelujah. That I'm your strength and I'm your strong tower. Hallelujah. The righteous run in and they're safe. Hallelujah. That you're safe today in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That You're in my hands and I'm in the Father's. Hallelujah. That You're held safely and confidently today. Hallelujah. By the sweet, sweet Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh my, what a wonderful Lord. A wonderful Lord and High Priest. Jesus, today as we take these elements, today You're in heaven itself. Before the throne of God, You represent all humanity. Hallelujah. Before the Father, it's just as if each one of us are standing right before Father God Himself in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're represented through the love of Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice of His body and His blood. It's just as if we have not sinned. It's just as if, hallelujah, we are just as perfect and righteous, just as if standing in Your presence, Lord God, without any kind of shame, without any kind of frailty, Lord God, we're at home. We're at home. Hallelujah. We're at home with our Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank You. Thank You, Lord God, of the confidence You give us today. Thank You, Lord God, for setting things straight, hallelujah, in our minds and in our hearts, hallelujah. Lord, that we have great confidence in You. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.